This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Powering Through the Pandemic on BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me is Executive Director of People Systems Consultancy, Raymond Gabriel. Now, People Systems Consultancy is one of the oldest social enterprises in Malaysia with over 15 years of experience. So Raymond is here to share his thoughts on how businesses from social enterprises to NGOs can work through periods of crisis and how PSC themselves have adapted to operating during the COVID-19 pandemic and movement control order. So thank you very much for speaking to me today. Now, before we get started on the body of the interview, could you just quickly introduce yourself and what PSC does briefly?
Thank you, Christine. Thanks for having me on this show. My name is Raymond, and we started a social enterprise called People Systems about 15 years ago, I think 2006, myself and my partner, Rowan Marshall. And we actually wanted to look at how we could help communities with low incomes and transform them in terms of incomes, in terms of managing money and enable them to be empowered to actually get out of their situations. We didn't want to look at facilitating donations, but to actually teach those people how they could be resilient, how they could strategically use their own talents and abilities to come out of the situations that they were in.
Right. And, as a social enterprise that has been around for a while now, you obviously founded your company right before the 2008 recession hit, and you've gone through your fair share of other crises. So would you mind sharing about one of those previous crises that PSC has gone through and how you guys dealt with the situation?
Sure. I started business quite early. So I went through the 1997-98 financial crisis as well, personally in another business I was running. And in 2008, People Systems went through a financial crisis and a sort of a difficult time at that time. I think people were struggling. There was some recessions in different countries as well. I think there are a couple of things learning from that experience in 1998, which I can tell you in 1998-97, when I was going through it, I was really not prepared. It was a very bad hit. And so when I started People Systems with my partner, I think later on, we started to think through how we could cope in a recession. So we don't only plan for good times. You don't only plan for strategies to get in your revenue. You don't plan for strategies to get in your incomes, to grow your business. But you also need to plan for recessions, I think. And you also need to plan for good times as well as times where the revenue is not coming in. And we did that. We looked at actually what would be needed in a good business time, and even in a time where revenue is not free-flowing. So we started to strategize what we could do. We started to look at what we would do if we are in a crisis, what do we need beforehand. So we were a lot better prepared, I think, in 2008. And now we seem to be have a very good business continuity plan, even though we are going through this situation. It's not easy for everyone. It's not easy for us, but at least there's a plan in place to handle it. I think in 2008, one of the things we did was we started looking at how we could evolve our business model, look at something that communities needed. And I think that's when we launched our entrepreneurship program. It was actually very good because we got some rejections. We thought in the beginning the right thing to do would be to study what's being done globally. And we studied this methodology from Grameen Bank, which is a very famous bank run by someone called Mohamed Yunus, who's a Nobel Prize winner. And he used to put people in groups of five and lend them money. And of course, we being someone who just started up, we couldn't lend money to people. So we approached banks and we tried to look at how we could give a similar model and get banks to fund us. But we were too new, you know, so it was quite risky for those banks to work with us and to work with an idea. Mm. So we went back and we decided to change the entire process. Instead of working with people in groups or following the Grameen Bank model, we decided, okay, how do we begin to build people's capacity and get them to start business and successfully implement ideas and strategies without giving them any money? We develop a whole training process with mentoring, with strategies to enable people to actually come from very hard poor backgrounds or people who actually were struggling with debt in business to transform those businesses and enable them to even scale without giving them any loans. And that has become a successful model that has enabled us to really thrive. Because people, when they go through recession, they go through a credit crunch, they are in difficulty. In good times, you also have the marginalized groups which need help from people like us. So we are able to give that offering in difficult times and in good times as well. Today, we from 2008 and what we implemented then, and we started going, we now have banks, government agencies and other organizations who work with us and who like our participants, because our participants have started with nothing. And for 6 months to a year with our mentoring processes, they've scaled their business. And so now when they go for loans, they've got a track record. They have, good management of finances. So it becomes people who are good to lend to, you know, good people that banks want to lend to as well. So now we've got good partnerships, but we still insist on our model. We don't give money upfront. We look at how we could train them, how we could impact them, how we could grow their incomes. 6 months to a year later, that's when we start connecting them with banks and other organizations who are willing to fund. It's win for the banks. It's win for us as well, because the banks and those funding organizations can now lend to people at a lower risk level, because these are guys with a track record, you know?
So, I think that's interesting that you guys have this business continuity plan in place after your experience with the financial recessions and such like. But obviously, at the current moment, the situation, while also impacting a lot of businesses financially, is also affecting people a lot more than that. So, how has People Systems Consultancy adapted to the current situation?
I think the first thing is your mindset, Sam. You have to look at the current situation and figure out how you can keep yourself mentally strong, how you can keep your spirits up. And that's something deliberate. It's not something that happens for some people and doesn't happen. You have to decide that you want to do that and decide that you want to take advantage of how you could help people and how you could switch. So I think the first thing to do is we realize that we refuse to cut salaries for any of our staff. We have 70 staff in the region. And we refused to give them pay cuts. We refused to do that. We wanted to find strategies of how we could keep going. And because of that, our employees got very motivated as well. And then we started to look at how we could harness their talents. You know, what are things that we could do? We decided to use technology a lot more. We were developing our own app. So we wanted to go digital. So we could take advantage of a situation where there's restriction of movement. We looked at how we developed a full business continuity plan before the lockdown happened. So in case there was a lockdown, in case there was a restriction of movement like what we have now, we actually have a plan that we could continue doing business. I think the planning, the mindsets are the two critical things that you need to have at this time.
Right. And, has operations at PSC changed very much since the MCO has been in effect?
Definitely. A lot of our work involved going to groups of people and engaging them in the communities where they were face-to-face. We can't do that now, obviously, and we want to comply with the government orders because it's for the benefit of everyone. So what we do now is we looked at how we could put people in smaller groups, use technologies like Zoom, look at digital e-learning solution, live webinars, and we've managed to transition into that. And to look at how we could impact people in those using those technologies and that processes that we changed as part of our business continuity plan. So that helped us engage people. I think technology is a big equalizer and it gives you opportunities in this time.
Right. And obviously, a lot of the people that you work with at PSC are people who are in perhaps lower income brackets as well. Are you helping them gain access to some of this technology in this case?
I think the government has done a very good thing by some of the telcos now working with the government. They have looked at how they could give free internet access, you know, at certain time periods. So that's enabled people to get free access. Now, during working hours, that free internet access can be used for people to learn, to grow businesses, to help those who are jobless right now to start something. So there's a lot of things that people are doing out there, not just us, you know. And if we combine our resources and we combine the things that we want to do to help people, I think we can work out really good solutions for people.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. But after that, Raymond Gabriel will expand on advice on how social enterprises, NGOs and others can adapt to operating during COVID-19. This is Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
I'm Christine Wong and you are tuned in to Enterprise. On the line with me is Executive Director of People Systems Consultancy, Raymond Gabriel, one of the oldest social enterprises in Malaysia with over 15 years of experience. Before the break, he talked a little bit about PSC's own business continuity plan and how they sort of adjusted to that in light of some financial recessions that they experienced and how they have adapted and pivoted their business to the current situation. But now I would be really like, I think, to focus on what your advice is for other businesses out there. So let's start with social enterprises specifically. I mean, already before this time of crisis, social enterprises need to already juggle this double bottom line of maintaining revenue, but also creating social impact. So what would your advice be to them on how to adapt to this crisis?
I think the first thing that I would like to share with them is don't give up. Don't look at the situation as in a negative light. You need to switch your mindset. You need to flip it to see that there are opportunities. There are a lot of people at home. There are a lot of people who actually want to give back and want to do something. So this is a time where you could actually harness more talent. You can actually harness more volunteers because people are at home. They would want to get involved in helping society and giving back right now. And if you put word out there, you let people know that we need help in terms of people who could help us to evolve digitally. We need help for people who could help us get things out there in this way. We don't have staff who can help us. Now is the time that you can actually get help because people are willing to volunteer. So put yourself out there. Come up with a plan on how you can use technology and that's already available. And this would help you evolve as well, what you're doing. Yeah, there are people like Grab, Lazada out there. Lazada is a very good example. You know, they got involved and helped people. I think farmers who had excess of vegetables by looking at marketing those vegetables so that the farmers had income and people who needed vegetables could get it. There were many other NGOs who looked at filling that gap of giving products that were going to be wasted to families who needed it. So there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of things that you can do actually at this time.
Right. I mean, that addresses a lot of the social impact element of a social enterprise. But how about, you know, paying your staff and also maintaining your staff without having to retrench anyone as well?
I think it's a decision that people have to make. I think it's difficult for some people because they may not have planned business resources well enough or put aside enough money. We recommend that every business should actually put aside money. Now, if you haven't done it, the next after the MCO is over, it's good for you to have a buffer of resources. We did that because we make sure that we want to have resources aside so that we can pay staff and we can have that continuity. The first thing you got to do is, I think you must think of your employees as an asset. And if it's your main asset, it means maybe paying yourself as a business owner or even paying you last. You pay your employees first. You know, you got to think of them that way. Because if you can take care of them and you can harness their talent, they will generate the revenue that you need during this time. Many of them could have skills. They could have skills in making videos, creating promotion, doing digital marketing for your organization, getting the awareness out. So there's a lot of things that you know, more people can do rather than yourself. So begin to think of them as an asset and not somebody that you think, oh no, I've got to pay and how do I do that? But start utilizing them to get word out there so that you can turn your situation around.
Right.
That would be my advice. You know?
Absolutely. And just to pivot to another type of enterprise, you know, NGOs, especially in Malaysia, have faced quite a lot of difficulty in these times, not just in, you know, having to step up their operations in general, but also in some of the restrictions being placed upon them that are being reviewed at the moment by our government, especially in regards to distributing food aid to the needy as well. So, you know, with all these added restrictions onto their current operations, what ideas would you have for an NGO to continue to pivot the operation?
I think the first thing they need to do is to think and strategize about their relevance. You know, how can they make themselves really relevant to situations at this time? And there are two things I think you need to think about when you're looking at relevance. One is, what are the problems that people are facing out there and what are the opportunities that you can have to solve those problems? I think when you've identified that clearly, then you can look at engaging government agencies and different organizations and local government to provide resources to them. You see, it's not just people who are looking for the help that these NGOs can bring. The government agencies are also looking for partners and people they can work with. And there have been successful partnerships with different NGOs which are going on right now. So I think it's about strategizing and then communicating what you can do to the right people. And so you can build these partnerships to actually help the communities that are in need and Malaysians as a whole.
Right. And for People Systems Consultancy, from what I understand, you guys do work with and sort of support quite a lot of the B40 community.
Yep.
What would you say are the things that the B40 community could benefit the most from right now?
We did a survey of about 200 people, mainly from the hardcore poor groups, those who are earning less than 1,000 ringgit. And the majority of these people were women. And we found that, and we did it in 8 states. So what we found from our data is that a lot of the needs that the families have right now is for something that we want to define, I don't know whether it's correct, but it's wet groceries, things like meat, vegetables, you know, food that they could get for the family, besides income. Because I know the government is doing cash handouts and we're trying to do different things. But whether it's sustainable in the long term, I think you also need to have an intervention to help people transition to earn income as well. But besides the income or money, I think wet groceries are one. Among mothers who have young kids, the top two things that they needed were milk and Pampers for young kids, because these are the two things that they really, really felt were a big need among the majority of the people that we interviewed in the survey.
Right. Hopefully, we can see more people be contributing to helping to support the B40 community in those areas as well. Now, I'd like to sort of start to wrap up the interview on hopefully something slightly more optimistic. You know, going back to focusing on social enterprises, what is your take on how they could go about recovery post-pandemic?
I think this thing is not a permanent thing. People have got to realize that. It's not something that's going to go on forever. So you can start making plans, first of all. What are the things you need to do? How are you going to pivot? How are you going to change your business model to be more relevant? Okay, there are going to be problems, and these problems could be opportunities for you. So it's important for you to start identifying problems and the role you're going to play. I think for some NGOs, they would have been playing a different role, and now something else may be more needed at this point. And this is an opportunity time for you to get into those areas that Malaysians as a whole need. You know, one of the most powerful things I think that people can do, and even the NGOs and the social enterprises can facilitate at this time, is that when we are in a situation where we are in a crisis like this, when we give back to people, when we start engaging other people to help them, and our mind is focused on something like that, we get energized. You know, so there are a lot of people at home who are maybe bored, who don't have something to do, and this could be an opportunity to time for you to engage those people and increase your volunteers, increase more people to actually help you bring your solutions out, and you could actually scale very well. And so post-NCO, these volunteers now become a bigger base for you to work with. The other thing is, I also believe that those who give and volunteer and give their time will always get back something from the universe as well. Yeah.
Mm. And how long do you think it will take for those businesses who, as you mentioned earlier, might not necessarily have had a business continuity plan or financial reserves to potentially recover revenue-wise?
I think if you are in crisis mode and you didn't have the revenue, you got to come up with a solution that you can actually immediately get off the ground. How can you utilize every talent that you have with you? Give them specific job scopes. Get everybody working on the survivability of the organization. Get them to look at creating awareness. Come up with something that you can actually market. You can get people to work with you with. This is critical. Huh? So you don't do everything. You focus on that. And then so you can get through that period. And then from there, you can start working on a recovery plan.
All right. Well, that was Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director of People Systems Consultancy, one of the oldest social enterprises in Malaysia with over 15 years of experience, discussing how PSC is powering through the pandemic. If you would like to catch up on the full interview, if you missed any of it, please go to bfm.my/podcast or download our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. We're also on Spotify and anywhere else you can find your podcasts. I'm Christine Wong, and you have been listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Powering through the pandemic on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.